Okay, welcome to the Toddcast. I am John, and I am joined again by Bo. TJ is MIA.
He is MIA. He's one of the other stores shopping today. God forbid he come here.
What a jerk. So we're actually taking a little bit of time out of our customer appreciation sale today. So if you missed it, sorry, but it's awesome. It's crazy good. 25% off the whole store plus 70% off dollar books. It's been great. Everybody's been real polite, real great. We love all of our customers, and this is why how we thank them once a year. And we don't do it on Free Comic Book Day because it just everybody likes to go to everywhere on Free Comic Book Day and check stuff out, and everybody else does deals. So we kind of give it an extra month and let everybody come and shop and hang out. So thanks, everyone, for coming out.
Yes, especially thanks to my Ohio customers. We're just halfway through the day, and I appreciate you a ton. Thank you guys for coming out. For those who have thus far come out.
Yeah, I mean, there's still time.
The future.
And, we're middle of the day, and there's a little bit of a lull. It's that mid between lunch and dinner lull. So we should be picking up here. By the time we're done, we should be back to swinging. So I just want to talk about a couple things coming up that are pretty cool. Later this week, on the 27th and 28th, we're going to be at Kennywood for Kennywood Kids Fest. We're bringing in a couple cool guests. Jeremy Ambler, who is he was with a couple of the zombies on Walking Dead. He's a good friend of ours. He's coming in. Writer S.A. Check, who does like science fiction. He's also done stuff like Pink Panther and the Three Stooges. He's going to be there. Uncle David Howard, who writes kids' books. He's a great guy. I got to meet him at Three Rivers Comic Con. He was awesome. Kelsey the Crew, who is Pixel Doctor and makes pixel art. She's pretty awesome. If you like that kind of 8-bit, like old school Nintendo style looking thing, it's pretty sweet. We also have Mini Mater, Manny Sanguian, and some cool cosplayers that are officially they're from the park people. Like, you can't just cosplay for this event. Please do not come in the park in full cosplay because they won't let you in. It's a thing we had to get every single one of these people approved by the park. And if everyone tried to do that, it would just be a nightmare. So, but it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of kids. Come hang out with us. I believe Pat Block, who draws for Disney Comics, he'll be there Thursday only, I believe. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, coming out. If you're in the Pittsburgh Mills area for the rest of this weekend, you can shop some 25-cent books. They're more adult stuff, a little more indie, but we got one more day of them, and that's tomorrow, the 23rd. So hopefully I have this posted by the time that you can read it or go and check it out, but it's a good time.
No, it's going on right now,
what?
Isn't it?
No, I mean, we're recording it right now. I got to put it up.
No, but I thought they were 25 cents.
Oh, yeah, it's going on today. Okay. Yeah, tomorrow's the last day, though. Then we're on the 6th or 7th, I think it's the 7th of July, we have the Cranberry Flea Market and Cookout. Sign up for that on the website and get your table. It's $10 for a space. And then if we provide the table, it's an extra $10. You can get up to 3 spaces and tables. So your bare minimum would be $10 with you bring your own for one space, or $60 for us giving you 3 tables or renting you 3 tables plus giving you the 3 spaces to put them in. But it's a good time. It's rain or shine. Free hot dogs. We'll be cooking. Good times. Come out for that. In July, on the 26th, we have our Fun for All Comic-Con at Fun for All in Cranberry. It's a little kind of mini Dave & Buster-y kind of place, but it's like a mix between Dave & Buster's and an amusement park. It's got like cool arcade stuff, like a indoor playground thing. They have food. And then they have like a pool that you can do like water games in, and then they have like mini golf, bumper cars / racetrack, and then like a batting cage. So it's kind of cool. And it's like just down the street from our Cranberry store. Check them out. And I think that's all we have coming up for right now. So now we're going to talk about some comics. because that's what we do. So I'm going to talk about Black Cat number one for the first, my first book. So I really like Felicia Harding. She's,
I've liked her more recently. Like,
yeah.
Recently, they're kind of making a hard push with her, and it's
yeah,
good.
I've liked her in the last probably 10 years, more than I've liked her any other time. So this book is by Jed McKay and Travel Foreman. It's actually kind of cool. Like it, you know, she starts out going to this thing and totally does the bait and switch where people are following her while her team steals a painting. And then a bunch of ninjas show up and she beats the crap out of the ninjas. And there's like a really funny scene where she's changing in the car and, so and someone's, she's like, hey, ice front perv, while she's changing in the car. So the humor in here is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. The art's pretty good. I really think it complements the writing well. And for me, that's what sells a book. The only thing that I find weird, and I'm gonna have to look back on some other stuff, is that her mask is two separate pieces.
Yeah, I've never known like, it to be two separate pieces, but I guess it is now. Right? Looking at it, I never paid attention.
It's weird. It just doesn't bridge over her nose, and I'm just like, what is going on here?
What did Campbell do on the front?
I think he did the same. Yeah. His is in one piece. Yeah. So you kind of find out that like she just has like these thugs working for her, and then. The person who trained her to be a thief, the Black Fox, shows up at the end, and I'm kind of interested to see where this is going. Like sold me enough to definitely check it out, and it was kind of like just like a good heist book, you know? Like it's
it was good, yeah. It's got me for another. Few issues, but the covers are what sell me.
It reminded me of like the Italian Job.
It did, yeah. It actually almost reminded me of Entrapment a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean work. Connery, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Maybe there's a ringer for you.
There. Yeah, there you go. So, but that's my book. My first book. I thought it was pretty good. Check out Black Cat number one. Still available at your local New Dimension Comics.
No doubt. Plus, look for those Campbell covers, Art Germ covers.
I got the Art
They're
Germ cover,
beautiful.
Too. Man, yeah. Was that good.
Definitely all beautiful and worthy of picking up. So
cool. What's your first book?
All right. First book's going to be Crucified by Scout Comics.
Cool.
So
and I was just talking to him about this because I saw it on the shelf and went, oh, man, I didn't even see this like the other day. Like, I'm very intrigued. And then here he is reviewing it. So I'm curious to hear what the review is.
It's definitely, I'm going to continue reading this. Now, how to start off with it, there's the problem. It's kind of a quick read. Basically, I was a little nervous about it. I was like, man, it's going to be like a race relation, you know, very political book. I was like, I don't know. I'm not really into the politics side of comics and stuff like that. I said, I just want my comics to be comics. But no, this actually kind of hooked me in. Basically, it's about race or gang riots in Los Angeles, Mexican gangs versus African American gangs, and they really, you know, push on that. And it's definitely not for the faint of heart book. So if you get easily offended by things, don't read this book.
So it's a mature book.
It is a mature book, and yes. But
it is a mature book to not like what would offend people in it? Is it like the
racial
racism?
Slurs, yes, racial okay, slurs, okay. Things like that. But I mean,
so it's real life.
It is. Yes, okay. It is. Right. But it takes a weird turn. They ask basically a head of a church. Mm-hmm. He's basically a messiah for their church. They ask him to come and talk to the race, you know, the race riots and things of that effect. Right. He goes down, says one word, basically stop, and everybody stops doing it. They Whoa. Just the whole riot stops. Everything goes to peace and quiet. And now they're trying to figure out why, you right. know, how this occurred. And basically, since this gentleman did this, you know, says stop, there's basically a hit team out for him. And they're trying to, you know, basically kill this guy for some reason. We don't know really the reason yet why they're trying to kill him all of a sudden, just because he made race relations stop. Right. And the people in his congregation, they're kind of dirty also, you know, pay money to in order to see this, you know, to see this. The Messiah, the you know the pastor type of deal, but
right.
definitely if you like kind of religious mysticism and you know, some kind of everyday race things, check it out. It's definitely a worthy first read, kind of a mystery, mystic mystery. It's definitely worth a good pickup.
What's the creative team on it?
Sheldon Allen and Armin Ustick, who I'm not familiar with either of those gentlemen, but Scout Comics has been putting out some good books. So
yeah, I mean, Metal Shark picking things up.
Yes,
amazing.
That's for one. This is definitely a lot more mature and
right.
Just you know, definitely not.
Well, I mean, Electric Black
was
very mature, but it was more horror.
That was horror, but that was awesome. So, but check it out, Crucify, if you want some like a real life mystery, but put some mysticism in there, see what's going on. It's pretty cool. Definitely a worthy pickup.
I dig it. All right, my next book is Faithless, number one, from Boom Studios. This is by Brian Azzarello and Maria Lovett. This is just the craziest thing I've ever read, and I love
every minute of it. It is crazy.
So the main character's name is Faith, and like the very first part of the very first page, she's masturbating, but you can't really, you don't see it, you don't see anything because you can't really do that. And then, you know, they like to go on to talk about how she hasn't really found like a significant other. I think she was talking about mostly dudes at that point, but then she runs into this girl. And her and this girl kind of hit it off at this bar, and they go home together, and well, they go to the other girl's apartment, and she they talk about how she's practicing magic, and it's it's super bizarre. Like, they end up sleeping together, and then, like, at the end of the book, the other girl just turns into, like, what is it? Like, like noodles? Like,
I thought
petals?
It was like bugs or
bugs,
something. Yeah.
Something. But she just kind of turns into something. So I actually read the second book, too. I haven't read three yet, but two is really cool. And you actually learn that the girl that she met at the club or at the bar, her dad is actually like the head of this magic
club
thing. And her dad kind of hits on her. And then she's like, "Hey, has this guy ever hit on you?" And she's like, "No." And then when they go back to the apartment again, she's like, "No wonder my dad likes you." And she's like, "What?" And that's how it ended. So three just came out this week. I'm going to catch up on it. It's really, it's definitely adult. Like, do not let kids read this book. but it is very crazy. It's like this magic filled like semi-erotic thriller. Like, that's the best way I can put it. I really dig it though. Like, I really like Azzarello's writing in general. I think the art is really good for it. It kind of reminds me of like a not as fine-tuned Brian Lee O'Malley.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because it kind of reminds me of like a rough version of like Snot Girl in the art.
Well, this, yeah. Well, I agree. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, but thousand times better than Snot Girl.
I mean, the Snot Girl, the book wasn't that great, but the
writing arcs,
in this, the story in this is intriguing enough for me to be like, oh man, I want to check this out, because I'm really,
I like
reading about like magic users and the occult and stuff like that. So this just kind of, it just really, it sold it to me, and I'm going to check it out.
It is. I haven't read book three either, but I'm in the same boat as you. I'm going to see where it goes. They got some crazy covers. It's definitely a mature
like
book.
The regular main cover is what I'm looking at.
It's crazy.
For number one, and it's like the two girls showering in blood, and one of them's naked and one of them's not. Like, it's crazy. Like, that's the regular cover. Regular cover. Like,
it is a super popular book too.
Yeah.
Like, I think it gets a second print, but definitely popular. If you haven't picked that up, try it out if you can find them. So definitely, it's got to be Boom's biggest seller right now in a weird way, which is weird because it's from Boom and doesn't fit to me. But I guess,
I mean, Boom's getting more and more
adult.
They're getting more and more, people into their stable that I feel that are going to really push And maybe it's all that Power Ranger money they're getting.
Definitely clean up Power Rangers recently.
They've done the best Buffy books since the first Dark Horse Buffy books.
100% right? Agree. 100%. Angel's good right now.
Angel's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just working out really well for them. And like, you know, like I said, like they do everything from, you know, this kind of stuff to Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. They have a kids line, the Boombox line.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of cool stuff that Boom puts out. And Boom is a really good independent company. Like, a lot of people don't give Boom a big chance, but they should, because it's really worth checking out.
They have something for everyone.
They do.
Currently.
Yeah. I forget what they have a slogan that's like, it's like, I'm going to look it up while you talk about your book. But they have a really cool slogan. It's like something, damn it. Hold on.
We'll wait for you while you're looking at this. And okay. You're trying to use our internet here, which is a terrible idea.
It is. It's really terrible. So. Holy crap. The Walt Disney Company partially owns Boom Studios? Oh, that makes sense, because they put out all the Disney kids books like DuckTales and all that stuff.
That's IDW.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boom is Lumberjanes.
Oh, yeah. Lumberjanes was really good.
I think the Adventure Time stuff is...
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Wow, your internet really does suck.
Disney's IDW and everything like that, Uncle Scrooge and all that stuff.
I thought Boom was putting something.
Yeah, because they do the Marvel ever, because people are really liking that Marvel action now. That's IDW and Marvel splits time.
Right,
the kids line stuff. It's actually doing pretty good.
Boom does like Adventure Time,
mm-hmm.
and there's Firefly and Power Rangers, Lumberjanes, Giant Days. They do Garfield. Maybe that's something. Big Trouble in Little China,
mm-hmm.
Regular Show, Black Badge, which was really cool. They do the Jim Henson stuff.
Yeah, that's popular.
And then a buttload of Power Rangers. So, man, they don't even have the slogan on their site. What the hell? Their main site is like taking forever to load. Oh, wait. It's like discover comics. Oh man, why can't I think of it? Anyway, discover yours. That's it. It's discover yours. Because it's like supposed to be like discover your new favorite book, you know? Like, and they're just so good dudes. Like, Russ Ritchie is like one of the guys that runs the place, and he's like one of the best dudes I've ever met ever. He was so nice. They really help. They really are designed to help the comic shop get new readers better stuff.
Yeah,
like everything they put out is about the comic and the creator. And it's awesome. I love it.
It's definitely they're diverse. They reach out for everybody. It seems like right now at the moment. So
yeah,
but it's encouraging. But all right, next book we're gonna do Sonata from Image. Have you had a chance to read this?
I've not read this.
It's good. Definitely. Definitely was intriguing. I was kind of excited for it because it almost reminded me of like a lot of Avatar in a weird way. So basically, the synopsis of the book is these people are from a different planet, and they get to this planet, which is basically lush and, you know, full of life, water, everything like that. They're able to get there. Their planets orbit next to each other like every 5 years. So they're able to get there, and basically they're setting up a new colony because they've exhausted the resources of other planet. So they're trying to get everything set up. And obviously, you know, things are going great. But as time progresses on, another planet that is able to jump to this planet also, very similar people. They're not like aliens. They're pretty much identical in shape and whatnot. They come there, and they're very destructive. It had a lot of Avatar and reminded me a lot of Dune, which is very weird. Like, it was the Atreides versus the... Oh, that's going to bother me now.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember that either. I'm not going to look
that up. The terrible people. The The Harkonnens.
There he is.
Yes, my brain works. But but that's what reminded me. These people were like the Harkonnens, like very, you know, come from like a very metal and destructive, toxic planet. But so they come into some conflict with each other because the one group is very, you know, down to earth, working with nature, you know, just wanting to build a better place for them and their families to live and, you know, coexist with nature. And the, you know, the native population, which are really cool people or cool beings, I guess you could say, but comes into conflict. The bad group builds a dam and you know, begins hurting the, you know, the nice existing group. They try to work things out. So, you know, try to work things out, you know, by talking, not working out. So the good guys blow up the dam. And it ends up being a bad thing that they do. They put too much explosives, and basically, like, there's now, like, a gigantic flood. And so we don't know what's going to happen with that. That's going to continue on to the next book. But as they're, you know, as the explosion happened, they find out that, like, underneath all this, they thought it was, like, a very barren, you know, just a very nature place and, you know, no other big civilizations. Well, they fall into a cave, and, like, there's this massive, cool civilization that they discover. No people, just, like, ruins. So they wonder, what actually is this planet? So it's kind of a cool look. If you like Avatar, Dune, it's got a lot of the reference, you know, a lot of the feelings of those. Definitely try it out if you like that mystical other planet alien kind of deal. So definitely a worthy pickup.
That sounds fun.
It's neat.
Kind of a like Enemy Mine a little too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked Enemy Mine. All right. My last book for this week is Thumbs from Image by Sean Lewis and Hayden Sherman. So this book, I picked it up because I was just like, huh, that looks cool. And the art in it is definitely something I'm not really usually into because there's a lot of grayscales with, like, hot pink everywhere. And you find out that, like, these kids play this video game, and the top percentile of the players get to go to this academy. And this academy is actually where those players get put into real life with, like, drones and stuff and actually are assaulting different places. Because it's, like, the game they're playing is, like, a first-person shooter type thing, like Medal of Honor type thing. Oh, crap. Sorry. And one of the guys gets shot, and he goes into a coma. And then you, like, get his whole backstory from 2 years before. You also find out none of them are over 18. And they're all raised by, like, these... if they don't have real parents, they're raised by, like, these digital parents that's called Mother. And they... Like, so the dude, you know, he hit whatever percentile and got into there. And then you find out later that he wakes up after being shot, and he wakes up for so long, or he was asleep for so long, that he's like, oh no, I'm old. And he's now 21. So you know, he's now got to figure out what's going on. So it's like a little bit of a little bit of War Games, a little bit of Last Starfighter, a little bit of Walking Dead.
It was good.
I like it a lot.
To the second issue of it.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely grabbed me because, like, you know, as someone who played video games back in the day, like, I don't really play games anymore, but playing games back in the day and really, like, and loving those old movies like that did the similar plot.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of cool. I think the art really works for it. I've been recommending it to a lot of people. And the book's huge. Like, it's super thick. It's $4.99, but it's so much. Like, there's almost no ads in it at all. Like, I don't think there are.
Image never has ads until maybe, like, one at the end. But that's,
right, and it's usually for something else, Image.
Yeah.
But, man, is it huge. It's awesome. But definitely go check it out. It's Thumbs number one. I recommend
it. If somebody sold out, they do have second prints, because I know it went to a second printing.
Yeah.
So definitely a good book. Check it out for sure.
Word.
All right, next book, final book for the day for us is Silver Surfer Black. I'm going to check it out because I've been hearing good things, bad things about it.
I have not read this yet.
How much do you want me to go in depth with it then?
Don't super spoiler, but you can semi spoiler. How's that?
Well, the last page is the only cool part of this book that I would talk about.
Well, if you
about.
Have to spoil it, I'm cool.
I mean, honestly, that's it. I was not. I've heard only good things about this book. I'm going to continue reading.
The only thing I've heard
Donny
bad
Cates.
About this was that people don't like Tradmore's art.
Oh, the artwork. Artwork is to me is god awful. Like
I like Tradmore, so that's why I'm interested in the book. I'm actually going to read this for Tradmore, not for Donny Cates, which is weird.
But the story, I mean, if everybody's familiar kind of with what's going on in Guardians of the Galaxy, everybody got sent into, like, this time warp to a different dimension. And Silver Surfer, this is basically his story of it. He basically saves everybody, Beta Ray and, you know, others, Quasar, Darkhawk, all them. So he saves them, and he finds himself on a planet with some beings, which was kind of weird to me. Like, with some like super beings, and I didn't kind of understand where Cates was going with this. I just read it too fast, but basically they become violent with him. He attacks them, takes them out, and he's wondering why they're so, you know, against him, and they're taking, you know, they're guarding this door.
Right.
So what's beyond this door? And the only thing I liked about this book, honestly, was that they were protecting Gnoll from Venom. This is where he's been, where he was his like main body, the head of the symbiotes from Venom.
Oh.
And
so that's the whole big deal.
That's the whole big deal, is like the finding of Gnoll. So Silver Surfer, I kind of didn't like it that much because I was like, come on, Silver Surfer, let's do a cool story. Donnie, do a cool story. No, he just went back to Venom stuff and like continuing on this story, and kind of like Silver Surfer was like a side note to me. So,
interesting.
Still cool. Pick it up. I mean, we'll see where it goes, but a little disappointed. Like, I thought maybe he would go a little bit more with, you know, a cool Silver Surfer story, which we had not had in a while, and it's like, okay, now we're just bringing Venom stuff in here.
Really
so.
Have it. Even the Dan Slott stuff was fun, but it wasn't. It felt more like Doctor Who.
It wasn't like the Thanos stuff, you know, the good stuff. But so. Good, but a little discouraging. I mean, I'm not disappointed. I wanted to see what's going on with Gnoll and stuff like that. I didn't want to do the Silver Surfer book, though.
Right.
So,
and we still have some first prints in almost every store. And because we're a Comics Pro store, we did have the Comics Pro variants. I don't know how many are left in the company, but there were a couple. We only got, I think it was 5 per store. So definitely check those out. The art was pretty cool on them, but only Comics Pro stores got to carry those. So check it out. All right, some books coming out this week. Age of X-Men, Nightcrawler, number 5. Age of X-Men, Next Gen 5. Aquaman 49.
Which was really good.
Oh, did you get the Stormbreaker hammers and the cap shields that came out? The plastic ones from Endgame?
They're pretty sweet.
No. Batman 73. Batman Flash the Button in paperback. Cap 11, Captain Marvel 7, Daredevil 7, some really cool DC Essentials, including Cyborg Superman, Deadpool 14, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs number 1, Doctor Who 13th Doctor 9, Excellence number 2, Fair Lady 3, Firefly 7, Go-Go Power Rangers Forever number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy 6, let's see... Howard the Duck, number 1, facsimile edition. Immortal Hulk, 17. Those must be second prints or third prints. Last Up on the Red Line, number 2. Livewire, number 7. Marvel Annotated, number 4, which sold pretty well for everybody.
Some cool Alex Ross covers this.
Yeah, time. Mary Shelley, Monster Hunter, number 3. Miles Morales, Spider-Man 7, a book that I'm going to talk about next time because I was really excited and I couldn't wait for this book to come out. Militia number 1.
I read it last night.
From Chuck Dixon. So I'm going to totally talk about that next time.
Read it. Yeah.
Because I've known about this book for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really excited to read it because I really liked his G.I. Joe stuff. Mm-hmm. So to me, like, it's just kind of like
a more mature
G.I. Joe book, I think.
It's good.
Nightwing 61, Port of Earth 11, Psylords 1, Red Sonja Vampirella Betty Veronica 2, Rolled and Told hardcover finally came out. Sabrina the Teenage Witch, number 3. Savage Sword of Conan, 6. Shadowplay, 5. Shuri, 9. Spider-Man League of Realms, number 3. Spider-Man City at War, 4. Spider-Man Life City, 3. Star Wars, 67. Star Wars Dr. Aphra, 33. Star Wars TIE Fighter, 3. Teen Titans, 31. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Urban Legends, 14. Tony Stark Iron Man, 13. Trout, Hollowest Knock, number 1 from Dark Horse.
It was good.
Interesting.
It's an older book. And yeah. It's like the next story. Artwork's cool. It's like
cool.
Gives me an Eric Powell feel.
Nice.
But not Eric Powell because he's like a god.
Uncanny X-Men 17. That's a different one.
Uncanny book that came out.
Uncanny 20 is the one that came out. Uncle Scrooge 46. You're right. Is IDW. Mm-hmm. Unstoppable Wasp 9. Yosagi Ojimbo number 1. War of the Realms, Journey to Mystery 5, War Scrolls 3, and Wolverine Infinity Watch number 5.
Man, you forgot two of the best books out this week.
What?
The New Superman Black Year 1.
It's not listed
Black
on
Label.
Here.
I have yet to read it. Yet. I plan on reviewing it because I have heard nothing but good things.
It was not listed on here. How was that not happening?
Besides the artwork. It's like a Silver Surfer thing, but I heard the story is... I haven't had one customer complain about that book. They loved it. And then The No Ones, which is Cave Comics.
Yeah.
I actually got a couple, and the book is supposedly... It's getting all kinds of talk about. I can't wait to read it, but it's very indie.
Hmm.
But check it out. The No Ones. I think it's like a $20 book already.
Jeez.
So... If you pay more than that, pay cover price. I still got them on the shelf for cover. I got two more.
Come out and get them.
Pay cover price. Don't pay a bunch of money for it. Just read
it. That Superman book has been pretty hot, though. I remember selling a couple of those.
Yeah.
Come out and check that out, too. So, other than that, again, I will thank everybody for coming out for the customer appreciation sale. I'm getting updates as we talk, and it's been doing pretty good. We're going to talk, a little bit about Dark Phoenix because I finally got to see it last night. Hmm. You have not seen it, but you've only heard customer reactions. I heard a mixed, but I had only talked to 3 people about it who had actually seen it.
Yeah.
So, one person said it was awful. Another person said it was really good. And then the third person said it was meh. So I was like, okay, so I have a 50-50 chance of liking this movie.
This will be good or not.
So yesterday I'm at the waterfront hanging banners on the wall, and it got to the point where it was like 6:30, and I'm like, well, I can go to the 7:40 showing, or I can try to fight traffic to get home and get home at 7:40. And Chip and I would decide to go get a beer, and I just stayed and watched the movie. I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. But I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I thought it was better than Last Stand. I thought it was better than Apocalypse. The things I didn't like about Apocalypse, though, were mostly like they glossed over a lot of story, right? So with this movie, the thing that they kind of glossed over was like, so the Dabari, Dabari, they're... they were in the original storyline. They were the alien race that Jean, as the Phoenix, went and just obliterated their planet. So
yeah,
they tried to the remaining ones tried to kill her. In the movie, everyone called them the asparagus people in the comic book. It's because they look like giant asparagus.
Yeah,
like they look vegetably, but they kind of can shapeshift like Skrulls. So so they come out and. They're actually hunting down the Phoenix Force so that they can use it to retake Earth and make it their new planet because the Phoenix Force destroyed it and they were chasing after it to take over that force to be able to control it.
Yeah.
So, beginning of the movie, like, you know, spaceship goes into space. What looks like a quote-unquote solar flare is flying at them. They get caught in like some kind of weird spin. NASA's freaking out. President calls the X-Men. X-Men go up there. X-Men save the astronauts as Jean's keeping the shuttle together, but she has to be on the shuttle to keep it together. So it's kind of like the original storyline where she's in a shuttle and gets hit by it.
Yeah.
So when she gets hit by it, it starts absorbing into her, and then as it tries to attack the X-Men ship, she controls it and puts it back to only absorb into her. So they end up rescuing her from floating in space and dying. Bring her back, everything's fine. And then they're at like a celebration. Young kid, like, they got to be like, if the time jump is correct, they're like mid-20s at this point.
Yeah.
And they're having basically a kegger in the woods. Yeah. Like, so like an X-Men kegger, like an ex-kids kegger, right? Yeah. So like it's like a high school / college party, right? And Jean just wants to get shit-faced. So as they're standing there, she keeps telling Scott, another one. I want another one. I want another one.
Jeez.
And she's drinking. And Dazzler's singing, and it's cool because like she's doing like all kinds of lights and stuff.
Dazzler was
that was actually really
one.
Cool because like she has the full blue makeup and the white outfit straight off the cover minus the roller skates. So that was really cool because like I really like Dazzler, so that was cool to see that. And then Jean kind of has like a trauma thing where she just like kind of freaks out and she basically like pulse waves everybody, and so they're like, what's going on? And Professor X is like, I'm gonna see what's going on, try to communicate with her because she's in a coma and he can't get in, so he uses Cerebro to get into her brain, and he has to crank it all the way to 11, right? So he's like 11. He's like, Hank, keep turning it up until I say stop. And he's like, keep going. And, you know, Mystique's like, no, don't do it. You'll die. So he cranks it to 11, finally gets in, and he realizes that all of these blocks that he put into her brain, similar like the comic, like put blocks into her brain to protect her from the trauma of her parents' car wreck and stuff, right? And she finds out that her dad's still alive. So she freaks out, leaves, goes to find her dad, finds her dad, finds that her dad has all these pictures of her mom, but didn't want her at all. Doesn't have any pictures of her. Kind of like wrote her off. So she freaks out and has this big showdown with the X-Men because they want to try to get her back. Has a big showdown with the X-Men in the streets in front of her dad's. And totally kills Mystique. Like pulse waves again, throws Mystique into like a busted off like plank. And it just like rips right through her chest. And Hank has this like moment of, oh my God, you're dead. I'm so sorry. I love you.
Jeez.
And it was kind of sappy. And that was kind of cool. And then she goes then to Magneto because she wants to know how you killed all those people and still lived with yourself.
Yeah.
Basically. Right. So, he's living on an island with a bunch of mutants. They don't call it Genosha, but it's Genosha.
Genosha,
right?
Yeah.
So it's like sort of Genosha.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, she's talking to him, whatever, and the military shows up. And the military wants her because she then killed a bunch of cops when in front of her dad's house when she was fighting the X-Men. So the military's there, and Magneto's like, we have rights. You can't be here. We have the same rights as they do, blah, blah, blah. And Jean comes out and is just like, no, you need to get the hell out of here. And they're like, no, like you need to come with us. So she just like totally wrecks a chopper, and the second chopper she tries to do that, but Magneto kind of like holds it and he's like, get in the chopper. So they all hop in the chopper and he kind of throws it into the air and they fly away. And he's like, you need to leave.
Jeez.
He's like, I can't protect you because I need to protect them, these other people that are on my Genosha, from you.
Yeah.
And she's like, fine. So she flies away, and one of the Debari find her, right? So the whole subplot is like the Debari are kind of tracking her and trying to find her. So they finally find her and they talk her into talking to them. And they're like, we can get rid of the force for you. Like, we can get rid of this power.
Yeah.
So the X-Men plus Magneto plus a couple of the mutants from Magneto's island go to Magneto's people are trying to kill her. The X-Men are trying to save her, minus Hank, because Hank went to Magneto and was like, I need you to help me kill her because she killed Mystique.
Yeah.
So it was kind of, that part was a little bit out of believability because of Hank McCoy's.
Yeah, he's not like
he's
that.
He's never like that.
Ever.
So, right. So that was a little bit like, a little far fetched.
Maybe it's Dark Beast.
It might be Dark Beast. It was cool to see him like go from human to beast, like at will, though. That was kind of cool. And the outfits all having like that new X-Men look from the Grant Morrison run. That was cool. So they have another throwdown where it's the Genosha versus X-Men in front of the building where they're all trying to get to her while the Dabari are basically like trying to steal her power. And she takes on Magneto by herself, and then she takes on Professor Xavier, and she's like, and he, there's this really cool scene where there's a flashback where he's like, you can do anything if you put your mind to it. And she goes, prove it, walk to me. And he's like, you know, I can't do that. And she's like, prove it. And she forces his body to walk him up the steps to her.
Oh, God.
Oh man, it was so crazy. I was like, this is awesome. like this is really messed up. I love this. This is what Dark Phoenix would do. You know, this is how crazy this can get. So then, you know, like Cyclops comes in and shoots the Dabari off of her while the Dabari's like, one of the Dabari's Vuk sucks away part of the power, right? So now there's a Dabari with half the Phoenix power, and then Jean's like supercharged. The military captures all of them and throws them in a train. The Dabari find them on this train. The whole time, all the mutants are like, look, man, if they show up, we're your only line of defense. Like, you guys are really screwed.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're going to be fine. They keep trying to shoot these things. They don't die because they're basically just vegetables, right?
Yeah.
So one of them gets smart and lets all the mutants out. And they have a big throwdown on the train. And there's a cool scene where, like, Magneto basically, like, crushes an entire train car onto like five of them and then just throws it off the side of a mountain and it explodes. I was like, that was cool. But it was very like that part, that scene reminded me a lot of like that scene specifically did kind of remind me of Last Stand, though, like the scene where they break Juggernaut out of the truck.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything else did not remind me of that.
No.
So then, like, Jean and Vuk have this big throwdown, and all the X-Men kind of help her, and then she kind of sacrifices herself to not exist because she knows that she's just this big destructive force.
Yeah.
But she, like, trashes, like, a whole city, like, all kinds of crazy just destruction everywhere. It was like everything I wanted to see Dark Phoenix do, like... I wanted Dark Phoenix to kill a bunch of people and wreck a town.
Yeah.
You know, it was, that part was cool. Like the end though, where she's just like, oh, I'm just going to sacrifice myself. Sorry. Boom. Gone. And then like there's like this end scene where it's like Professor Xavier meets Magneto at like a coffee house in Paris and they play chess on the street and like at a table. I was like, okay, that's very, Dark Knight Rises of you.
Yeah.
You know, and like, so they kind of wrap up what everybody's doing now. Like, Beast is now running the Jean Grey school, and Cyclops changes it to the Jean Grey school.
Yeah.
And you see Storm like teaching and stuff. The weird part was like the part they glossed over was that these X-Men that were Horsemen of the Apocalypse are now just dudes at the school and part of the regular team, which was kind of cool. Like, it was weird not seeing Wolverine in the movie at all.
You should have been.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but really, where would he have fit? I mean...
I don't know.
It's not like he could have had the love interest thing with Jean because, like, you know, at the time... I mean, even in the comics, technically, he's, like, what, 40 minimum years older than Jean? But because Jean's only supposed to be, like, 22-ish, 22 to 25... Like, that'd still be a little...
Yeah.
You know, because, like, how old is Hugh Jackman? Like, 55?
He's older than you think he is, I think. Yeah.
Like, I bet he's, like, 50s, mm-hmm. at least. So, like, it's one of those things where, you know, it was really good paced. Like, it felt fun at moments. There were a couple cool Easter eggs. Like the Dazzler thing was a cool Easter egg. The fact that they could just have a party and Dazzler was like the entertainment was kind of neat. But like the letdown at the end where she's just like, man, I'm going to sacrifice myself. No one can have the Force. I was just like, really? Like she didn't even like show back up on Earth.
Yeah.
She was just gone.
Did they give her full Phoenix costume and everything?
No.
So there's a downer right there. Like,
so like they had, she was mostly in like grays and blues. And then eventually she's in like a black shirt with like a red leather trench coat. It's a
very like Last Stand-ish type of.
Yeah, but that she only wore that for like maybe 20 minutes of the whole movie. But it was after, like, that was after the whole Genosha thing. Like, after all that happened, that's when she did that. Yeah. Because, like she still had Mystique's blood on her shirt. And Magneto kept being like, whose blood is on your shirt? And she wouldn't tell him. And then when she finally, finds out, or when he finally finds out in, and confronts her when they have the throwdown in New York, he's like, I know whose blood was on that shirt. So it was, like I said, it was okay. Like, for the last movie in this thing, when they knew they weren't going to get to do anymore, sure, it was fine.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, this masterpiece, beautiful thing. And I think a lot of people wrote it off for the reasons of no Wolverine. The last time they tried to do Phoenix Force was a little, or Dark Phoenix was a little too, was really bad. They were like, oh, well now we're just going to wait for Marvel Studios to reboot the X-Men, so who cares about this movie?
Yeah.
But I thought it was at least like a 5.5, 6 out of 10. Like, I didn't think it was garbage, and I didn't think it was like a masterpiece, but
yeah,
it was okay. It was all right.
I'll wait till it comes out on Blu-ray or whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, and that's fine.
I'll check it out.
I mean, so. Like, Apocalypse, I thought was worse.
See, I love Apocalypse. I didn't think that movie was terrible. It wasn't good, but
yeah, like there was a lot of. We're just gonna gloss over the fact that all these dudes just exist, and then we're just gonna wrangle them, and then we're gonna have a throwdown, and like.
I thought Apocalypse looked cool, though, at least.
That doesn't make you look bad at all. I think
they did as good with him as they could for... He's kind of a different character, so...
I wish he would have grown to super huge size more, and I wish Cable would have been involved somehow, but...
Yeah.
Other than that, it wasn't bad. Or at least more Bishop. Like, they would have had Bishop in there at all. That would have been cool. But he was in Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Which,
that one, to me, was my favorite of the newer stuff.
And it was still bad too.
X2 is still my favorite of all of them. Then Days of Future Past, then probably the first one, then First Class, then Dark Phoenix, then Apocalypse, then X3. That's how I would put them.
I don't really like any of them.
Really?
I'd do without. Yeah.
My problem with First Class is that when I hear First Class, I think of a very specific amount of X-Men. It's just this mental block. Yeah. I like the movie. I enjoy it. And I love Kevin Bacon because Kevin Bacon was an amazing Sebastian Shaw.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was rough.
The characters didn't bother me. But, like I said, old Patrick Stewart and what's his face? I can't remember his name. They're my Magneto and Professor X. So those movies will always by far be better than this newer stuff. But they had a great cast, and they really dropped the ball. I thought all these characters really did fit with younger versions and whatnot, and they really dropped the ball on that.
So, weird trivia, Professor X is the only character to be in by one or both of the actors in every single X-Men movie. He's the only one.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because he was in the Wolverine. He was in Wolverine Origins.
Oh, was he in the Wolverine Origins?
They were in the end.
That was like god
awful. Because the first in the Wolverine Origins at the end, he's Wolverine's going through the thing at the airport.
Yeah.
And he's there.
That's right. Yeah.
And then
that's
in the second one, they show the Days of Future Past like teaser thing.
Yeah.
And it's him and Magneto at the end.
Boy, that Origins movie was terrible.
Oh my god.
Was that bad?
Yeah, that was real, real bad. And even we were talking earlier today, like I'm not particularly a huge fan of any of the Wolverine solo movies. I think Logan was the
newest
best
one,
but
the coolest one, yeah.
But it still wasn't I don't think it was as great as everybody said, because like I love the old man Logan story, and
yeah,
you know, people keep calling it old man Logan. I'm like, no, it's Logan. It's
definitely not old man Logan. No,
it had no. And I like X-23 a lot.
That's about it. He got old.
Right. And I like X-23 a lot, and that's, they did not really do her that much justice in this movie.
No.
And it was just a weird, like, it was just a weird story to me. I thought it was cool to see Wolverine finally be as violent as he should be. That part was cool.
Yeah.
But I thought the story itself was not that great. So
we'll see. Maybe we'll eventually maybe get one of that. Well, never will. Some Deadpool and Wolverine action might be.
Right.
Will never happen, but maybe one day. Who knows?
You never know. But I guess Wolverine has been in everything. Actually, I guess he's been in the same amount of X movies as Professor X, because Professor X was not in Deadpool 2, but Wolverine was.
Because, yeah, in a weird
but it was
way.
It was stock footage.
Yeah,
you know, but you know that's still kind of cool, mm-hmm. and technically you could double count Days of Future Past because you had two Wolverine or two Professor X's and two Magnetos.
Two Magnetos. The old guys are the best guys.
I do. I love Patrick Stewart. He is one of my favorites. Man. All right. I think that's about all I got. What do you got? Anything else?
No.
Okay.
Go. Good week.
Yeah. So so everybody, hang out. We'll have another episode up here in a couple weeks. And thanks for helping us bring this back and. We got some good feedback on the last couple, so
we have, yes.
You know, thanks for everybody who's been helping us out with that. So, all right, I am again your host John, the general manager, and with me is Bo from Ohio.
Hello, bye.
Have a good night, guys. Bye.